ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text 1, chapter entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Saktamana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya Asanshayam Samagrammam Yathagyayasi Tatshunu. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Saktamana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya Asanshayam Samagrammam Yathagyayasi Tatshunu. How, by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Purport. In this seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. Krishna is full in all opulences, and how he manifests such opulences is described herein. Also, four kinds of fortunate people who become attached to Krishna and four kinds of unfortunate people who never take to Krishna are described in this chapter. In the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yogas. At the end of the sixth chapter, it has been clearly stated that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahma Jyoti or localized Paramatma realization is not perfect knowledge of the absolute truth because it is partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. In complete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is the ultimate knowledge beyond any doubts. Different types of yoga are only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma in full. By practicing of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, the living entities, and the material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. One should therefore begin yoga practice as directed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in nine different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, Tat Shrunu, or hear from me. No one can be the greater authority than Krishna, and therefore by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna conscious person. One has therefore to learn from Krishna directly or from the pure devotee of Krishna, and not from a non-devotee upstart, puffed up with academic education. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto as follows. Shrinvatam sagata Krishna punya shavana kirtana ardhinta stoya bhadrani vidunoti suratsada nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama shlokir भक्तिर भवति न इष्टिकी तदा रजस्तमो भाव काम लोभादयश्च ये चेत एतर अनाविद्धम सिदं सत्वे प्रसीदति एवं प्रसन्न मनसो भगवत भक्तिर योगत भगवत तत्व विज्ञानं मुक्त संगस्य जायते विद्यते हृदय ग्रंथि छिद्यते छिद्यन्ते सर्व संशया क्षीयन्ते चास्य कर्माणि दृष्ट एवात्मनीश्वरे. To hear about Krishna from Vedic literatures or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as the best wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus material lust and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of God perfectly. Thus, Bhakti Yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of Asamshayam Samagram, understanding the supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam 1.2.17-21. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or from his devotees in Krishna consciousness can one understand the science of Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, all the devotees. I can speak something for my purification. So Krishna explains at the end of the sixth chapter how remembrance of him, that is Krishna, is the topmost characteristic of a yogi. So he begins this seventh chapter by explaining how one can attain constant remembrance of Krishna. So this is the connection between the sixth and the seventh chapter. And Krishna begins this verse by saying, Maya Sakta, Asakta, attachment. Now, attachment basically to any object of this world is not appreciated basically in spiritual circle. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that there are main 8 types of attachment one may get attached to. Second canto explains, Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashu Dravina Bandushu Rajya Cha Vikala Nityam Virudham Mamatam Jaho. There are 8 types of attachment. Atma, attachment to one's body, that is the first attachment. More than any other attachment of this world, a man is attached to his own body. Then second, Atma, then second is Jaya, or a wife. Attachment to a woman is the most powerful attachment of this world. Atma, Jaya, Sutta, children's attachment to children's. Agar, residential place, one is attached to his own residential place. Agar, Pashu, previously during those times, there were animals. People would keep animals, and that would be considered a sign of prosperity. Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport that previously people would keep horses, cows, elephants, but now today the same horse has been replaced by horsepower. So for today's relevance, we can say that Pashu can be connected to, say, vehicles or, you know, cars or, you know, anything. So Pashu, Dravina means money, one is attached to money. Bandhushu, that is relatives. And the last is Rajya, that is, one is attached to one's own land of birth, that is, nation. So these are the 8 powerful attachments one may be attached to in this world. And Shukdev Goswami congratulates Srila Parikshit Maharaj, who is a grahastha, who is a householder. Shukdev Goswami is a renunciate. And a renunciate is glorifying and congratulating a householder, saying that you, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, you could give up these attachments. Now, Parikshit Maharaj had everything to the fullest extent, but still he could give up all these attachments. So even a renunciate is glorifying the renunciation of a grahastha or a householder. Now, a question somebody may ask, okay, Parikshit Maharaj could give up that attachment because he came to know that he's about to leave his body. He's going to leave his body within the next 7 days. But we still see that people know that they are going to leave their bodies, but still they cannot give up this attachment. Not even one out of these eight. If somebody knows that, okay, I'm suffering from cancer or I'm suffering from some terminal illness, I may leave my body within short time. Still that person remains attached. He can't give up. But here, Parikshit Maharaj, as soon as he came to know that he's going to leave this world within 7 days, he immediately gave up all these worldly attachments. But Shukdev Goswami further says, why Parikshit Maharaj could give up and how he could give up this worldly attachment, which is so very difficult. Parikshit Maharaj says, because he dovetailed that attachment propensity by attaching himself to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. That is the only reason. We can give up lower attachments only when we get taste for something which is higher. So Krishna here begins this seventh chapter by saying, Maya Sakta, O Arjun. If you want to get attached to something of this world, it's not worth it. Only one thing. Maya Sakta. And Parikshit Maharaj, as soon as he gave up those worldly attachments, the process he adopted to get attached to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is not Ashtanga Yoga or not Hatha Yoga or not Karma Yoga or not Jnana Yoga, but only one out of the nine processes of devotion service, and that is hearing. According to Parikshit Maharaj, hearing, he thought, is the best and the only means to attain perfection. And even in this chapter, Krishna begins this chapter by telling to Arjuna that, Arjuna, if you want to get attached to me, then the best means to get attached to me is by hearing about me. And it's quite surprising, like our Sudama Prabhu says this, no? So Krishna says, Tat Shunu, just hear from me. That is, hear from me means, Suno me. So if Sudama Prabhu says that, if we won't listen to Krishna, Suno me, then tsunami will come in our life. And that will be a big disaster. So better we hear from Krishna before it is too late. But it's quite surprising that six chapters have passed up till now. Krishna has spoken six chapters and this is the seventh chapter. And now, at the onset of the seventh chapter, Krishna is telling to Arjuna, Tat Shrunu. Does that mean that Arjuna did not hear the first six chapters properly? No. Arjuna very properly heard those chapters, six chapters, but now Krishna is emphatically saying Arjuna to hear attentively. Why? Because from this chapter onwards, Krishna is going to reveal the highest secret, the unresolved or the unknown mystery on the path of spirituality, that is bhakti yoga. From 7th till 12th chapter and practically till 18th chapter, Krishna establishes bhakti as the topmost among all the yoga of all the yogic practices. And if Arjuna can hear this, Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai, and if Arjuna will hear this chapters attentively, then the same hearing will reveal Krishna's identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because up till now, Arjuna doesn't know what is the position of the Supreme Lord. Only after hearing from 7th chapter onwards, 9th, 10th, after seeing the universal form, he says, Param Brahma Param Dhamam Pavitram Paramam Bhavam Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajamu. My dear Lord, I could now understand who you are. So these chapters, from 7th chapter onwards, they are going to reveal Krishna's topmost position. Now, in fact, there was one, let's come to this material world now. There was an old man. He went to one doctor one time. And he told the doctor that, doctor asked him, may I know, how can I serve you? You're suffering from any illness? He said, doctor, I am fine, but I am concerned more about my wife. Doctor asked, what happened to your wife? So he said, doctor, I have been observing since quite some days that my wife is having some hearing problem. Maybe she's not able to hear properly. Doctor said, is it so? So what you can do is when you go home back in the evening, you can experiment this formula. What you can do is you can stand 15 foot away from your wife and with your closed eyes, just call out, my dear wife, do you hear me? And then you will realize whether she is really able to hear you or not. So this man went in the evening from 15 feet away. He called out, my dear wife, do you hear me? No reply. Went 5 feet more closer. That is 10 feet. My dear wife, do you hear me? No reply. Went 5 feet much more closer. My dear wife, do you hear me? No reply. This person understood. Really, something is wrong. So this old man went very close to his wife's ears and then asked, my dear wife, do you hear me? And wife replied, yes, I could hear you for the fourth time. That means he himself realized that he had some hearing problem. He could not hear. Wife was speaking, wife was replying, but he could not hear. What I am trying to say is, there are people in this world who are not ready to admit that they are getting old. They are not ready to admit that their senses are becoming weaker and weaker day by day. When a child is born with some deformity, many deformities a child is born with. But one of the powerful deformities, say a child is born blind. We call it a vision impairment. A child if born dumb, we call it a speech impairment. And if the child is born deaf, we call it hearing impairment. Now of all this impairment, if a child is born deaf, it can have a major impact on the child's growth. Because it has been observed that if a child is born deaf, then he will naturally be born dumb. Why? Because the child could not hear anything of this world, any sound vibration of this world. Because he could not hear anything, he cannot produce any sound. and he cannot communicate with this world anymore. So we have to understand that hearing, or what we call is a Shravanendriya or Karnendriya, is one of the powerful sense organ a God has gifted to man. We have to make a best use of it. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Bile Batur Uru Vikramanye Nashrunvata Karna Pute Narasya Jivasati Daduri Kevasuta Nachopagayati Urugaya Gatha. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that those ears, Bile Batur Uru Vikramanye, those ears which does not hear about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, those ears are compared to the snake holes. And those tongue, that tongue which cannot glorify or cannot chant the names of the Lord, that tongue is compared to asati or an unchaste wife or a croaking of a toad. So we have to use this Shravanendriya very properly. In fact, for a deaf child, it is just like, no, seeing this world is just like switching on a television, but at the same time, no, switching on the mute button. It's like he can see what's going on, what's happening on the television, what's happening in the world around, but he cannot understand, he cannot grasp what's happening. He may simply have to speculate. So hearing is very, very important. Not only that, but the principle of worship is also based on attraction. And the principle of attraction is based mainly on hearing and not simply on seeing. We get attracted to so many objects of this world. We get attracted to many people of this world, especially those people who have powerful energies connected to them. Energies in the form of fame, knowledge, power, beauty, renunciation, what not. But unless and until we hear about that person, we won't develop attraction. Say for example, a CEO of a Mafatlal group of industries comes here, sits amongst us, wearing a simple dress, comes with a simple slippers, having a very gentle, very mild profile. Somebody pushes him, pushes him and walks ahead, taking darshan or for taking prasadam. But still he remains calm. Who will come to know who is he? But unless a third person comes and tells that new man, come on, you know. No, he is the CEO of the Mafatlal group of industries. Then immediately that person becomes very cautious. And his awe and reverence, his behavior towards that person completely changes. Or say for example, a president of Philippines comes and sits here. We are seeing him, but simply by seeing, we don't realize that who is he. But if somebody comes and tells us, okay, he's the president of Philippines, then we'll immediately get up, offer him respect, offer him all hospitality. So simply seeing somebody does not give a full knowledge about him. Unless and until we hear about that person, that gives us a complete knowledge. Even Brahma, Lord Brahma, he got bewildered when he saw the Supreme Lord walking on the forest of Braj. It is said that Nau midyate brahapushe taditambaraya gunjavatam sapariputchalasan mukhaya vanya sruje kavalave travitaya venu lakshma shruye mridupare pashupankajaya. Lord Krishna, who is performing his childhood pastime in the forest of Vraj, he is roaming. How? He is just wearing yellow garments and Gunjamala. Not only that, but having a peacock feather on his head. And not only that, but Vanya Sruje. No opulent flowers, but forest flowers. He's just wearing some forest flowers on his head, decorating his body. Kavala. He is holding curd rice, a simple food. And Vetra Vitana Venu, holding a stick and a flute that is made up not of steel or some metal, but Venu means a flute made of a bamboo. So when Brahma saw, even Brahmaji got bewildered. How can he be God? See, just by seeing, he appears to be very ordinary person. So if a Brahma can get bewildered, what about a living entity like us? Simply by seeing, then we can't get perfect knowledge. What I'm trying to say is, hearing is more important than seeing. That's very important. And when we hear about somebody's energies, say for example, a great cricket star or a great film star, we get attracted. And that energy is so minute, so insignificant. What is that energy compared to the unlimited amount of energy of the Supreme Lord? If we can get attracted to the insignificant energy, if we can get attracted to the people of this world who have insignificant energy, won't we get attracted to the Supreme Lord who has unlimited energies? Therefore, in the 7th chapter, Krishna starts explaining his unlimited energies to Arjuna. And he tells specifically to Arjuna, Arjuna, just hear. When you'll hear, you'll automatically develop attachment to me. And in fact, there is one philosopher, Herodotus. He says that despite the fact that ears and hearing plays a major plays a vital role, man trust their ears less than their eyes. Most of the people in this world, or say for example, modern education, gives more importance on a pratyaksha praman. They say that seeing is believing. And they don't understand the value or importance of shabda praman. But we understand from these examples of the president of Philippines or a CEO of Mamatlal Group of Industries, that simply by seeing somebody, we cannot know that thing perfectly. We must hear about that person. So what to speak about mundane, what to speak about the insignificant living entities? If we can't understand them, just simply by seeing, can we see Lord and understand Him? So many people, they come and tell us, show me God. This is a redundant idea. Why? Because even if Lord appears in front of them, what will they see? Duryodhan was seeing Lord Krishna face to face. But he could not. He said he's just a magician. Just capture him. Just arrest him. On the other hand, Bhishma Dev, he saw the universal form of the Lord and he immediately paid obeisances. Why? Because he knew who Lord Krishna is. So seeing is not so important. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarita Thakur would say, don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna would like to see us. Srila Prabhupada said, don't try to see Krishna with these mundane eyes. Try to see Krishna through these ears. Because only through these ears that we can understand who Krishna is. So, hearing is very, very important. And we see right from
page 1 to the last page of Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literatures, hearing is given so very much importance. Hearing is the foundation of one's spiritual life. That's why Prahlad Maharaj, when he was asked, "No, what do you think is the most important?" He says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam. So he begins by saying Shravanam, not with Darshanam. Shravanam. Because when we'll hear about the Supreme Lord, then when the Lord comes in front of us, then we'll realize, then we'll be able to understand who He is. Our respect for Lord will increase many folds. So hearing constantly, regularly about Him is very, very important. And not only hearing is important, but the hearing from right source is very, very important. If a patient wants to get treated of stomach illness, naturally he won't go to a cobbler to get his treatment, get his stomach cured. He will go to a right person. If a student wants to get a doctor's degree, and if he goes to a professor of engineering university, will he get that knowledge? No. He has to approach a right person to get right type of knowledge. So when it comes to spirituality, people think you can approach anybody to understand who God is. How stupid it is. You need a person who knows about God. Then only we can approach. We can't approach a demon and ask him who Krishna is. Because a demon can't tell. But we have to approach, as Prabhupada again and again emphasizes, that we have to hear either from Krishna or from his devotee who knows the heart of Krishna. That's very important. Prabhupada would regularly give the example of this Sargal Singh. No? Sargal Singh, it's a good story. In a kingdom, one time, there was a news spread that a Sargal Singh has died. Sargal Singh has expired. And everybody heard, Sargal Singh has died, Sargal Singh has died. And there was a mood of mourning, and everybody started lamenting. And the news reached the king. And king said, Sargal Singh has died. I am also going to shave up. Everybody in the kingdom started shaving up. Sargal Singh has died. But the minister, he stopped the king and he asked, wait a moment. Can you tell me who Sargal Singh is? So king also got bewildered. I also don't know who Sargal Singh is. But everybody is talking about Sargal Singh. So I think he's an important man, so I should also shave up. So minister said, let me find out. So he found out from, he asked people, who is Sargal Singh? So we also don't know, we heard from somewhere. So he finally went to a person who was actually mourning, was actually lamenting because of losing Sargal Singh. And he found out and he asked, who this Sargal Singh is? Is he a very important person? So he asked that person, what was your connection to Sargal Singh? So he said, Sargal Singh was my pet donkey. And he died. So from henceforth, I will have nobody to help me. So I am lamenting. So what's wrong? So then king came to know, then the entire kingdom came to know from the right source who Sargal Singh is. Of course, what I'm trying to say is that I'm not connecting. No, but what I'm saying is that we have to know. If we want to know about God, we have to know it from the right source. Then we'll be able to come, when then we'll realize who that person is. In fact, like we are already, we are all the time, we are told that we have to water the root of our Bhakti Lata beach through hearing and chanting. So a gardener must know the art of gardening. If a gardener uses a pot which is filled of any liquid and turns over that root, and later on comes to know that roots, that seeds, all seeds burned out, what is the point? And then he finds out that that liquid contained petrol or kerosene. Or somebody says, no, if you want this roots to grow, if you want this creeper to grow, then you should put badam pista milk. Then it will turn out very nicely. But does it make any sense? So a gardener has to know the art of gardening. Similarly, if we know from the right source what to water the root of our Bhakti Lata beach, then we'll be very cautious. We won't put things from here and there, but we'll use the right thing. That is hearing and chanting. That is because that is a basis that will help the roots to go deep and make the foundation very strong. So, hearing from right source is important. At the same time, somebody may ask, okay, what is the use of hearing only Krishna Katha? What benefits will I get from hearing Krishna Katha? So Prabhupada, in this verse, gives series of verses. Shrinvadam Swakata Krishna. What is the effect of hearing Lord Krishna's pastime? Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful verse, third canto, yes. Asheshasham kleshasamam vidadde gunanuvadam shavanam murare kimvapunastat charanaravindam parag sevargatiratma labda. Asheshasham klesha. One who hears about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, unlimited miseries ceases to exist. Not only, and Srimad Bhagavatam explains what to speak of those who have got attracted to the flavor of the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So we are looking for misery-free life. Here is the solution. A life which can completely bring an end to all the miseries. Simply Shravanam Murare. Just by hearing. Sitting at one place, a few days back, Gopinath Chandrapur was giving such a fantastic class. He said, power of hearing is that just by sitting at one place, a spirit soul can be transferred from Bhulok to Golok. One does not need to go to Himalayas to perform austerities. But hearing, sitting, giving and submissive oral reception is enough to perfect our life. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj, he heard about Krishna in the womb of his mother. Narad Muni, he heard from the Bhakti Vedantist, from the transcendentalist, when he was a child. Ajamil, he heard the conversation between Yamduta and Vishnudutas at the time of when he was old. And Parikshit Maharaj, he heard the wonderful pastimes of the Lord when he was about to give up his body. So hearing can be done from womb to tomb. And all these personalities, they perfected their lives. So scriptures gives us the evidence also that yes, the effect of hearing Krishna Katha is perfection. Whether you hear right at the onset of your childhood, right at the onset of your birth, or when you are about to leave your body. And very sometimes we see, you know, these three monkeys, you know, three monkeys, one monkey has their eyes closed, one monkey has their ears closed, one monkey shows that his mouth is closed. What do we learn? When a monkey shows that we should not, we should close our eyes, that means we should not see anything else. Anything which is not in connection to Krishna. When a monkey is showing the sign that we should not speak, no, what he's trying to say is that we should not speak anything other than Krishna Katha. And when a monkey says that we should not hear, what a monkey is trying to say is that we should not hear anything else apart from Krishna Katha, or we should not hear from unbona fide source. So these are three Gandhiji's monkeys. They teach us lessons. Monkey can teach us lesson. What to speak of, you know, the wonderful text of Srimad Bhagavatam. They are there for us. They are not for animals. Even animals, they understand. Why can't we human beings? And the tenth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains, the gopis are praying to the Supreme Lord. They say, Tavakathamritam tattajivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam shrimadatapam shrimadatatam bhuvigrinantite bhuridajanam. Even the gopis are glorifying. They say the nectar of your words and the instruction of the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and souls of those who are suffering in this material world. And they say that these narrations transmitted by the learned sages eradicate one's sinful reaction and bestows upon them all good fortune. This, and further they say that these narrations are broadcasted all throughout the world with the spiritual power. And one who spreads this message are certainly very munificent. So, pages after pages, the importance or the effect of hearing Krishna Katha is emphasized and mentioned. What is the importance? It just brings an end to all the miseries of this world. In fact, only after Krishna spoke this entire Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna, he again stood up with his Gandiva bow to fight. And in fact, Krishna is asking, Kachit etat shrutam partham, Tvaya eke grinam chetasa, Kachit agyana sammoha, pranastastejan dhananjaya. He's asking, Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, have you heard this science properly, ekagrena? And has all your doubts been dispelled? If not, Arjuna, I am ready to speak this entire Bhagavad Gita again. And what is Arjuna's reply? Nashto moho smriti labdva tvat prasadatma yachuta stito smigata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Oh my dear Achyuta, I am ready to fight. I am ready to do as you say. Nashto moho smriti labdva. All my doubts, all my illusions has been dispelled. Just by hearing. And what is Sanjaya's response? When Sanjaya also heard the same science of Bhagavad Gita. And what is his response? He's saying, Iti aham vasudevasya parthasya cha mahatmana samvadam idam ashrosham adbudam roma harshanam. He's saying to Dhritarashtra that my hairs are standing on end. Just by hearing this wonderful conversation between the Supreme Lord and Arjuna. So if we simply hear and imbibe the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, that is enough to give us the ecstatic symptoms. People think, unless and until I'll see the Lord, I can't experience ecstatic symptoms. No, but here Sanjay is he's experiencing Romaharshanam. His hairs are standing on end just by hearing this wonderful conversation. This is the glory of attentive hearing. We have one pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam, a one personality who never saw Krishna in his life. But just by hearing, developed attraction for the Supreme Lord. And that is Rukmini Devi. Rukmini, she was a daughter of the king Bhishmaka, who was the king of Vidarbha province, which is in Maharashtra. And Bhishmaka had five sons. Rukmi, Rukmartha, Rukmabahu, Rukmakesh, and Rukmamali. And one daughter, Rukmini. Rukmini never met Krishna in her life. But many saintly people, many saintly saints, many sages would come to the kingdom of Bhishmaka. And even Narad Muni would come to the kingdom of Bhishmaka. And he would speak about the glories of the Lord. And just by everyday hearing about the wonderful glories and the activities of the Lord, Rukmini developed attraction for the Lord. And that attraction for the Lord went to such an extent that she decided that if I will marry, I will marry only to Krishna. But her brother, Rukmi, had some other plans. Rukmi wanted his sister to be married to Shishupal. In fact, Rukmini's father, Bhishmak, wanted Rukmini to marry to Krishna. But because he was attached to Rukmi, his elder son, he could not deny Rukmi's proposal. So the time for marriage had come. And Rukmini is thinking, how can I grab Krishna's attention? And at that time, she decides to write a letter to Krishna. And what a beautiful letter she wrote. She writes with a very choicest words. Her letter is very, very perfect in order to grab Krishna's attention. Her first line says that, "My dear Lord, O infallible Lord, one who never fails in protecting his devotee." She says, "One who hears about your transcendental form and your pastimes, absorbs through his ears your wonderful qualities." And she says that it is only by hearing your wonderful pastimes, wonderful qualities and wonderful form that I have got attracted to you. And she says that although I am not qualified, but if you so desire, you can come and rescue me. She further says, that which should be enjoyed by the lions is now going to get enjoyed by the jackals. So I want you to come and rescue me and take me along with you. And when she sends that Brahmana to the court of Dwarka, to the kingdom of Dwarka, immediately seeing the desperation of Rukmini, Krishna decides to rescue Rukmini. And within 12 hours, although Dwarka is so far from Vidarbha, that is Nagpur. Krishna, because Rukmini was so desperate, so eager, Krishna was equally eager to rescue Rukmini. And then we all know that how the time for marriage came, and all great princes from different provinces gathered in the kingdom of Bhishmaka. Shishupal, along with Jarasandha, Paundrak, and many other great warriors, approached. And they were anticipating. They all were thinking that Rukmini will marry me alone. But Rukmini had a different choice altogether. And finally, it is said that Rukmini is waiting for Krishna to come. And she is waiting for that Brahmana to come, arrive, and give good news. And what happens is that, hope against hope, she is waiting for that Brahmana to come, and that Brahmana does not turn up. So it is explained that her desperation and her eagerness increases. And it comes out in the form of tears. And when those tears comes out from her eyes, at that same moment that Brahmana enters, and he gives the good news that Krishna has come to save you. And we all know that how very wonderfully Krishna kidnaps Rukmini from that arena and takes her to Dwarka. So our Acharya gives a wonderful analogy. Our Acharya says that Rukmini is none other than a living entity, a Jivatma. And the place where Bhishmak had a kingdom, that is compared to the material world, and Dwarka is compared to the spiritual world. Bhishmak is compared to the intelligence who wanted Rukmini to get married to Krishna. But Rukmi and the five brothers are compared to the mind and senses who does not want Rukmini to get married to Krishna. And Shishupal represents the envy within which wants to take Rukmini away, or a living entity away from the Supreme Lord. And unless and until a living entity hears about the Supreme Lord's glories, he has no chance to be rescued. And once a living entity hears about the Supreme Lord and gets attracted, then he writes a letter to the Supreme Lord through a Brahmana who is compared to a spiritual master. Spiritual master goes on behalf of a living entity and pleads to the Supreme Lord to rescue a living entity. And when Lord Krishna sees the eagerness and desperation of the living entity to be with him, then Krishna expresses his desperation, his eagerness, many folds. Rukmini very well knew that it's a great risk or a great challenge to write a letter and invite Krishna in her life. Similarly, our mind and senses does, in spite knowing that Rukmi and her brothers will create oppositions, Rukmini was very much determined. So when a living entity is determined, in spite of all the oppositions created by mind and senses, then Lord Krishna and comes into a life of a living entity. Otherwise, the mind and senses wants to take away God from our life. So spiritual master is a via medium who carries our message. And just as seeing the desperation of Rukmini, Krishna came and took her back to his own abode. Similarly, when when the Supreme Lord sees the desperation of the living entity, he comes and takes us back to his abode, spiritual world. It all begins with hearing. Had Rukmini not heard about Krishna, she would have never met Krishna in her life. If the living entity does not hear about the Krishna, where is the chance of meeting Krishna? Where is the chance of going back home, back to Godhead? There is no way. So what is important is hearing submissively. And our Acharya explains that just as Rukmini wrote letter to Krishna, a living entity, when he writes letter to Krishna, expressing his desperation, then Krishna comes. What is that? What does that letter represent? That letter represents calling out for Krishna every single day by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Just as Rukmini, she wrote that letter so precisely, with choicest words, glorifying the Supreme Lord, so that she could attract Lord Krishna's attention. Similarly, when a living entity, when a sadhaka, he expresses his eagerness by offering choicest consciousness during his chanting, then Lord Krishna has to come. But what is expected, what is needed is that eagerness and desperation. So, Srila Prabhupada made a wonderful statement. He says in one of the purports, he says that there is no difference between hearing the holy name attentively and seeing the Lord face to face or eye to eye. One simply has to realize it. It's a powerful statement. There is no difference between hearing the holy name attentively and seeing the Lord face to face. It's just a matter of time. But if we won't hear, we won't see the Lord at all. So the best way, Srila Prabhupada said, is to hear the holy name, his pastimes, every single day. That's why Srila Prabhupada introduced Srimad Bhagavatam classes every single day, Bhagavad Gita lectures every evening, so that anybody and everybody can come and take advantage of this facility and hear about the Supreme Lord, get purified. Srila Prabhupada said, I'll just conclude with this, that the best way to hear about the Supreme Lord is to chant his name. Now, if we analyze, it really makes sense. There are five Mahabhuts, Pancha Mahabhut. Of all the five Mahabhuts, Akash or the ether is the subtlest. From Akash or ether comes Vayu. From Vayu comes Agni. From Agni comes Jal. And from Jal comes Prithvi. So from subtlest comes subtlest to subtler to subtle to gross to grossest. Prithvi is grossest. We can feel. So, our sense organs also develop from this Panch Mahabhut. So, from Akash, which is the subtlest, comes Karnendriya. If you see the formation of our ears, how God has made it, there is Akash inside. It's a space inside. Akash. From Akash comes Karnendriya. From Vayu comes Tvak or skin. From Tej, comes, what do you call? Chakshu. From Ras comes, or Jal comes, tongue or taste. And from Gandha, or what do you say, Prithvi, earth, comes Nasendriya or Dranendriya. So our ears have developed from the subtlest of all the Mahabhuts. And when we hear any sound vibration, it directly goes to our heart. And if we want to affect the subtlest part of our body, that is mind or even the soul, then we have to use the subtlest organ, that is Karnendriya. So when we hear the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name, it has a direct effect on the subtlest organ of our body, that is mind or sense, mind or the soul. So Srila Prabhupada explains that just as mouth is one of the root of administration of medicine, if you want to administer a medicine, we use mouth organ. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada explains that Karna is also one of the root of administering medicine. But that medicine is the medicine of a sound vibration. It's a sound-based medicine. And that is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And when we hear that, automatically, it does not go into our belly, but it goes directly into our heart. And it purifies our consciousness. So we see that hearing has such powerful effect. Most of the second generation after Srila Prabhupada left never saw Prabhupada in their life. But just by hearing the words of Prabhupada, they have got so much inspired that they want to dedicate their life. So seeing Prabhupada, they have not seen. Many of the Prabhupada disciples never met Prabhupada. Like we heard, Niranjan Swami Maharaj never ever met Prabhupada. But he is inspiring thousands and thousands of people all over the world. The power of Vani more important than personal association. So when we simply hear Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yogan Yunjan Madashaya Asanshayam, without doubt, one can know Lord Krishna in full. That is the gist of this chapter 7th. And from this chapter onwards, and this chapter, if you observe, only Krishna speaks and Arjuna simply hears. Nowhere in the between Arjuna interferes Krishna. Krishna is simply here because Krishna has told Arjuna that Shunu. So Arjuna is so obedient. He simply wants to hear and perfect his life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry if I have spoken anything wrong. Thank you for your patience hearing. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthra Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.